Hello, everyone, and welcome to the best and worst of Walt Disney World. I am your host, Ryan O'Clavin, and in today's episode, we are going to be talking about the worst stage shows at Walt Disney World theme parks. And to join me for this discussion, we have Mr. Sean Falk.
Hi.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
And Craig Williams.
Hello.
And we're just going to jump right into it. We've already done the best of shows, and we stand by those, all of them. Now, for the worst, though, again, these are in no particular order, but I'm going to start with one of Craig's least favorite shows, and that is Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair, the castle show at the Magic Kingdom right now.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Magic Kingdom castle shows. They just don't do it for me. I know some people think they are literally like the magic of coming to Walt Disney World is experiencing these castle shows, seeing your favorite characters right up on there. I don't need that at all. I prefer a castle where I could just walk through at all times of the day and enjoy because it is a castle. I don't need the show out front. In this one, while it is a massive upgrade from the previous show that was in this spot, it's over time, it has come to annoy me more and more. I don't like the inclusion of Frozen in it. Back when they made the choice to do it, I felt like, okay, it's the right decision. But now that Frozen Fever has died down, it no longer really fits in this location. I think it should be traded out for maybe something more classic Disney, Snow White, Cinderella, anything. I don't really care for the section with Tangled and I Have a Dream. I love the movie Tangled, just don't like it in this show. Love Princess and the Frog. Part that's great, and the theme song kind of annoys me. The one plus of it is I do enjoy that they rotate the show and they have a different costume and
for the seasons.
For the seasons they have a different costume and kind of like a little ending song based on what season it's in. But other than that, really, it just seems like when I'm in Magic Kingdom, I cannot avoid this show. It feels like it is constantly running. And when this show's not running, it's move it, shake it, dance and play it. And like, so it's just this constant onslaught in the hub area of way too much loudness and music and takes away from the tranquility of Disney. So yeah, I'm not a fan of this.
I think you addressed it a little bit, but I'll just expand on this idea. I don't like that they're all the recent movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like you were saying, with having a classic princess in there would probably make me like this show a little bit more. Not that I would be the biggest fan. That being said, I also feel like this show falls a little bit under the way, if you watched the last episode about Disney Junior, that maybe this is just not for us because it's meant for littler kids, but I don't know. Maybe
I don't know that I believe that about castle shows because if you look at like the Halloween show, that's for everybody. You know, like I think it's since it's performed in what is the main area, the number one, like taking a photo of place in Walt Disney World, you know, that it should be for everybody.
I think it, and that's part of it. I think that for the marquee show, the main one that's right on your castle, it should be the best show you have to offer. And this just, in my opinion, this just isn't it. It's that classic Disney when you think of like, oh, it's a Disney performance and everyone's just up there lip syncing. And, you know, it's not great. It deserves so much better than it should have.
I have an issue like with the shows, the castle shows, because they make walking through the castle so restrictive.
Yeah.
So if you're on like your first visit and you're trying to like be like, I'm going to go up and like through the castle and I want to see the mosaic inside of there and just, you know, cross right over into Fantasyland, you're not always guaranteed that. I find that I 9 times out of 10, I can't even make it through there anymore, you know, because it's usually closed off getting ready for the show or something like that.
My big issues with it, one is a little bit of a continuity issue. Have they gotten rid of Talking Mickey yet, or is he still there? I know they were talking about
Mickey's only leaving from the
area.
Town Square.
Okay. One of my issues with it always, especially when I worked there, was kids would leave from meeting Talking Mickey, go right out into the center, and there's Mickey on stage. And that's something that Disney usually does a much better job about avoiding, that situation where, you know, you can't visually within like 3 seconds see the same character again. So that's something that got addressed to me by another family that we went to the park with and who brought their kid and was like, why is, and literally asked, why is Mickey, I'm confused.
Well, when I started as a cast member, they used to be very careful about that stuff like 10 years ago, because they would say like, they had it scheduled in a certain way that he would never be out in more than one place, like technically in Disney World.
So that's kind of my main issue with it. I agree with Ryan about the I said Ryan, I don't know
who
why.
Is that?
Sorry. Why? Rhino. I agree with him about walking through the castle, because that's one of the things. It's almost like it limits the amount of time you can also take pictures in front of the castle as well, because this is happening in the background.
Yeah.
But I do think it needs something. It also has Daisy, and I hate her. So
I know. We don't like
Daisy. She's always so rude. Everything that comes out of her mouth is just disgusting. it really is. Everything she says, I would be really upset if my kid was getting influenced by her. So
I don't like Daisy either, even a little bit. I wish we had an area that was like in Disneyland, how they have the Friendship Fair, like the area where they do their like fairy tale shows. I kind of wish we had something where that was, because it's not like I don't like the idea of these characters coming out doing a show and seeing people singing and dancing. I mean, they're gonna do the parade later,
but it is
like what I'm saying, it kind of really puts restrictions on like the photos and what you're doing, and for a show that's up there, like it, I feel like it should be maybe a little better than it is, you know, for being right where it is. But that's gonna move us over to Hollywood Studios, and on our list first from this park, for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along. So this is the Frozen attraction that occupies the American Idol Theater now, the once American Idol Theater. And I don't like it because, well, one, I'm not a big fan of Frozen, but I understand why kids like it. My thing is, it was shoehorned into a theater that was like, that was where Doug Live on Stage used to be, and then it was nothing for a long time, and nobody knew why they did it, but American Idol and Disney signed a thing before, well, it was still on Fox, and they remodeled this theater, and it was this like really like they had like all the pads in the chair where you could vote and all these things, and it was really cool show because they had made essentially like a miniature version of the stage from the TV show. You know, this is during like season 7 or 8 of American Idol though, and you're like, what were they thinking? This show's not going to be on much longer. A smart move, I guess, because they renovated the theater for them, but the theater didn't really get the full remodel it needed. You know, like it was just kind of like it's like what Craig said earlier, the Frozen fever is going on, and they were like, we need Frozen, we need it in a park. Where can we put it, and where can we put it really fast and cheap? And it just, I don't like that.
Me and Craig, I think, have the same problem with this, in that this show actually, the very first time I did it, I was surprised with some of the jokes and banter that go on between the host and hostess that are up on stage that are from Arendelle. And it used to be funny and a little witty and fun, but now they've, like, I don't know if guests complained that they didn't want their kids around that or whatever.
I actually know the answer to this one.
So. Yeah, but they've cut that out. I would like to know why they cut it out.
I have friends and family that are part of this, and so, you know, they were letting me know, because I asked, you know, what's going on, or they themselves were upset about it, and they said, oh, I'm really frustrated because Disney is making Eric and Aria, who are like the two that do it, cut out their banter, cut out the jokes and everything, because they just want it, do the sing-along. That's why people are here for it. And apparently the cast argued back and said, no, people really seem to respond well to the jokes and it makes it enjoyable and all that. But Disney was very firm on, we want to cut that part. So I don't know if it was with necessarily guest complaints, but for whatever reason, Disney wanted the jokes and stuff cut as much as possible, and they wanted it to just focus on Frozen for the kids.
Well, I wonder if it like slims down the time and they felt like they could turn over the attraction faster by
maybe
doing that.
I don't know.
But they probably could. It's just a shame, because while the sing-along part is, you know, you're watching the clips from the movie, it's just the extra added elements where they just made it a little bit more livelier. The first time I went in, I thought I was just going to hate every second of it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's actually, for what it is, it's not terrible, and that mainly was because the extra interaction. Other than that, if you're just going and watching a sing-along, it's like, it's why I hate right next door to it is the Star Wars The Path of the Jedi. Like, why do I want to go sit in a theater for 15 minutes to watch clips from all the Star Wars movies?
Yeah, right.
Like, I will just go watch them. The kind of the same thing with the sing-along in this form. I don't want to just watch the songs. Otherwise, I can sit at home and watch Frozen.
It's resort entertainment. That's what they, if there was a room at a resort that was like the American Idol Theater and they did this sort of thing, I'd be like, oh, that's really cool for them to be. Well, the kids are at home. They can go watch that. That's not something you pay your $100+ ticket to go do at a theme park.
It's a glorified YouTube clip when they just splice clips of the movie together, whether it's a sing-along or with the sing-along, at least the characters come out. But with the Star Wars Path of the Jedi, it's literally, there's probably hype videos that people have made for Star Wars that are better than Path of the Jedi on YouTube.
I agree. It's just with the Frozen show, while I think there are still benefits to going, and I think as a family attraction, absolutely still do it, but it's just, this theater has always been plagued ever since they got rid of Superstar Television way back in the day and converted into Doug. It's just like, this has been a pit of despair ever since.
It's got a curse on the building.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to brag because I was a star of Superstar Television. I was Thurston Howell the Third in Gilligan's Island. But
I will say with it, when I first went, I was with them. I really thought it was going to be something where I was going to be like, oh God. And I like Frozen. So I still thought it would be something I wouldn't want to do. And I was confused when I got there because the historians were reading it out and like doing that. But the banter actually ended up being my favorite part. And those characters ended up being my favorite. Now that they don't have that, they have no need for those characters. They should have the people they're paying really good money to be Elsa and Kristoff and Anna come out and read this. Like they should be the stars of the show.
I wish they did
now.
It like how they did the Disneyland, the fairy tale stuff they do at Disneyland, which is they have the two narrators and then they like the actor, then they have actors who come out and they react, and it makes it, but it's a different experience. It's not just the movie because you have these people and they perform these things, and I don't know, it's funny and it's got humor, and if they did something like that, I'd be on board with that. That's fine. But another one on our list at Hollywood Studios, which I don't know if I 100% agree with, but I understand why it's here, Beauty and the Beast live on stage.
This is what I was referring to last week. This thing has aged so terribly, and it's a shame considering after the Beauty and the Beast movie came out last year, the live action one, this should have been ripe for a refresh to keep it up with how popular Beauty and the Beast grew back into. Not that Beauty and the Beast ever lost popularity, but you know, after New Fantasyland opened up and it had that extra renewed interest because of Be Our Guest, Enchanted Tales with Belle, you would have thought that would have been a good time to give it a breath of fresh air too. And then Beauty and the Beast comes out, another time where they could have stimulated a little bit more. This show is still rocking it the same way it was when it first opened, and it is pretty cringy seeing all the costume characters up there. The fact is, it just flat out doesn't make sense when you have a Chip and Mrs. Potts that are nearly the same size running around with Belle and bigger than Belle.
I have always taken issue with the fact that Lumiere is 10 feet tall and like all these things, and they're like, oh, we've got to hide. I'm like, okay, well, you're massive. So I've always thought that was weird. I mean, I like the idea of the production, like, is the actual production, like Belle singing and that sort of stuff. But I do think it could have used some more life. I mean, the costumes are filthy and disgusting, too.
Yeah. At this point, like, I don't know how this theater went on so long, but probably because of space issues. Like, this really needed to take a note from the Hyperion Theater at Disney California Adventure, get closed, get a proper set and all of that, and really embrace it and switch over to like Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. And switch over to that style, put it in there. This show just doesn't.
Or they could have put Frozen in there once that started too.
They could have literally put anything in.
And like Disneyland.
Anything. Anything but these old crappy costumes that they're still wheeling out for it. The sound sucks in there when you can hear people screaming on Tower of Terror constantly, and that's just overpowering. It's just all a complete mess. I wish I liked this show because the music is still iconic in Beauty and the Beast, but
I think that's what I like it for most is really just the scene where they're doing Kill the Beast and all the fog comes out. And I'm like, ooh, I'm getting into it.
For me, I would say that it's when I first saw it on the list that it was on the worst or whatever, I was like, why? Like, I was like, why did they put it on the worst? And because I was like, I like that show. But now that I think about it, especially after last week's episode when we talked about Voyage of the Little Mermaid, when I was surprised that was on the best, Craig brought up the point that Voyage of the Little Mermaid is always full, or maybe Rhino did, I don't remember, but it's always full.
No, it was Steve then.
Okay. Charles said it. Yeah. So anyway, that it's always full. And I went to do the Beauty and the Beast stage show about a month ago for the first time in a really long time, and it was pretty dead. Like, we were able to just wandered in and picked a seat right in the middle right there, so people aren't going as much as they were, especially even to Voyage of the Mermaid, which is a bigger theater, so I get that.
You know,
as well,
what surprises me a little bit too is that, like, when so the Guardians of the Galaxy dance off thing that's happening, why isn't that could have taken over that thing. You know what I mean? It would make more sense in Hollywood Studios than it does in the America Pavilion.
Yeah. And I mean, now that I think about it, like, once they just brought up these points of, like, the Hyperion Theater, I remember as a kid seeing Aladdin. That was one of the first things I ever saw when I went.
I missed it.
And it was just the best thing. For years coming back home, all we talked about in my house was like, remember that Aladdin show at the Hyperion Theater? Now I've been back, it's been replaced with Frozen, and that Frozen show is phenomenal. I love that Frozen show. So I love the Frozen show out there. I don't like it as good as Aladdin, but I really like the Frozen show out in California.
I don't know.
And the effects and stuff they use at that show, I enjoy it.
I do think the theater is awesome.
Yeah.
The theater itself, the production that they've created there is
yeah,
really
For me now, I'm like thinking about it, and I'm like, oh yeah, Beauty and the Beast does need a huge remake. You know, it needs something to liven it up, to even put it comparable to what Aladdin was 15 years ago at the Hyperion Theater in California. So
yeah.
I also think metal benches in the middle of the Florida summers. I know it's shaded a little bit, but
it's shaded, but it's still it bleeds in there. What really upset me is last summer I thought it was perfect when they had the Pixar Symphony come in and play.
That was
it.
Nice.
That's the only reason I could say keep this theater around. Yeah. But for Beauty and the Beast, no. It's the show has had its time,
run its course.
It is time to just move along from it.
Well, and speaking of that, we're moving along onto a show that I don't care for. This is bad because I don't want to see it in person, but it's new. At Animal Kingdom, Up, A Great Bird Adventure. Now, the reason why this made the list is because, one, birds creep me out a little bit. Not creep me out in nature. Like, birds, wonderful. My dog likes looking at them, so do I. But I like them at a distance. Like, I don't want to be in an enclosed area with a flying around grabbing 20s out of my pockets that I don't even really have. They used to do that in the old show. What was this called? Flights of Wonder?
Yeah.
Flight of Wonder or Flights of Wonder?
I believe that was Flights.
Flights, I believe too, because there were multiple birds. And I saw it. I went and saw it, and I was like, I don't like it. Get the talons away from me. They have large talents. So, you.
So, I saw the Up show. I will say it's better than Flights of Wonder because they added the characters. And maybe the children will like that. But, yeah, it's still basically just that same Flights of Wonder show with a couple changes. And it's not significant of a refurb that I'm like, oh, wow, this is now such a great thing. It's just a slightly better version of Flights of Wonder.
I'm all for adding characters too, but when it causes these awkward pauses and moments for a show, that also doesn't really help things. And I mean, it is still new, so I will give it that, but I feel like the show wasn't fully rehearsed as much as they should have, because it has its awkward moments.
Well, yes, and along with that, I was at one of the first shows, and the birds, I think, were relearning some of the routines from before, and the pre-recordings that the characters do, like Doug and, you know, the Up characters do in the show, they can't like change, they can't improv because they're just recordings.
Yeah.
So when the birds aren't like doing what they're supposed to be doing, it's just like you just see like the one host that's the guy with the mic that's like like he's like trying to make it work and it doesn't. So
I have this issue with I'm not trying to knock anybody who does it, but birds live for a long time. Okay, they're like a 20-year animal, like 20-year lifespan usually, I think, maybe longer, maybe shorter, a little shorter, but I don't like when people take away its one thing that it was supposed to do. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, they shouldn't really be pets. And I know Animal Kingdom's not really like a zoo in the traditional sense, but like animals in captivity kind of don't really rub me the same way they used to when I was younger. And so like birds, especially whenever birds are like, its life is to just be here to perform for us. Like, was it a rescue bird? Did they rehabilitate it? I don't know the whole story, but it already puts me off from that right away.
Well, I mean, all these birds, just like most of the animals that you see on the safari and stuff, they'd probably be extinct if they were just left out on their own accord. So I'm okay with that. The thing
giraffes
with
giraffes would be extinct.
Someone's going to start killing giraffes. Once all the elephants are gone, they're going to have to move on to the next valuable thing. They're going to be, haven't you ever seen giraffe skin stuff? Woof. But back to the birds. I think there's just two ways to really handle birds, and they have a very good version of it in front of Tree of Life. Usually I think it's right around noon,
yeah,
where you can get close to the birds. They have a person who works at Animal Kingdom out there explaining about them, and then they do their flight, which is super awesome when you see them all take off at the same time and go around. And then you have this, where it's done as this big SeaWorld style show. Not that I think there's anything wrong with SeaWorld style shows. I love SeaWorld, but I feel like at Animal Kingdom, a park that wants you to get embraced with the animals and feel closer to them and closer to that nature, doing it as a show, a big show like Up, the Great Big Bird Adventure, I feel like that's the wrong way to approach us. It didn't fit in when it was Flights of Wonder, and it still doesn't fit in. It needs to be more up close with the animals, in my opinion.
Does Kevin even come out during the show?
No.
All right, so then that leaves us with our last show on this list, and that is Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away from Hollywood Studios. Now, I honestly would maybe put the March of the First Order on here too, but that doesn't technically isn't a stage show.
It's more of a parade.
Yeah, but I do.
A 2-second stage show.
Don't mean to say I don't like when I come into Hollywood Studios and the march, that Imperial March theme is playing and you see the stormtroopers and Captain Phasma. That's really cool. Like, that is really cool. The whole thing, though, where they get up on stage and it's like, what is going on here, is weird. Then you get to this show, Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away, and you're like, what is the purpose of this? So you are just standing out in the center of this park in front of the Chinese theater, and this like stage built in front of there, and it is just no shade really anywhere except for like a back in the far corners, and just this like playing that kind of storyline that kind of ties, goes like runs through the history of Star Wars somehow, but every random here and there, like a character will come out, like Darth Maul comes out and does a couple spins of the double-sided lightsaber. You get Chewie who comes out, and then you'll have Rey comes out and BB-8 comes out, but he don't roll out. He just pops up and then like goes back away. I'm like, they don't have that rolling BB-8 anymore, huh? And it's just a weird, like Boba Fett comes out and they'll shoot off a pyro here and there, but it is just the weirdest. I mean, it's cool that those characters are there and they're in front of me. Like, if this was Star Wars weekend, sure, but as like a permanent fixture, like as a show that's at Hollywood Studios right now, it is just lazy.
No, it's not cool that they're right out there in front. As a massive Star Wars fan, I would rather meet these characters.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Than have to stand out and watch this show. It's you get to watch clips from the movie. It's another hype reel, and you get to see the characters, but it was so thrown together. knew that they had to fill the gaps in between what they currently had with just Star Tours and what they were going to have with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So they came up with a fireworks show that I do enjoy.
Yeah, but I think the fireworks show's
good. You have to get there to the end of the night for that. And then they throw in the launch bay, which is still just a pretty much a big waste of space. More like launch besides the meet and greet area there, it's a waste of space. Then you have March of the First Order, and you have this show, and it's just, it is Disney being cheap with it when they don't have to. They already proved that with an event like with Star Wars Weekends, where all you have to do is have the accessibility to meet these characters throughout the park.
I wish fans they just would be roamed.
Thrilled with that, yeah.
If they just like walked out, like how characters just kind of appear at Disneyland or something. I really don't mean to keep throwing it back to Disneyland, but their character interactions work on a completely different system than ours. But it just or make more room in the launch bay so it's not just Kylo Ren, Chewie and Darth Vader, right?
Well, Darth Vader not there. He was replaced by Kylo Ren.
So is it just Chewie and Kylo Ren right now?
Yes. Even then, the Chase Visa thing, when you get to meet an extra one, it's Kylo Ren. Yeah. So if you just met him, like then you go to your Chase Visa
BB-8.
And it's him
you
again.
Can still meet BB-8 in there, too. BB-8 replaced the video game area.
Yeah.
But which is cool, but I'm like, okay, well, more of them. I can see that Rey comes out. Why not put her in there with BB-8? And the same thing, too. People love, not Jango Fett.
Darth Maul. Boba Fett.
I said the wrong one, the bad one. And why not have him in there? Because I know that people love that stupid character for some reason. I don't like him at all. So that's just me.
No, there's lots of it. They don't have to go face characters. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad face characters were starting to phase out after Star Wars Weekends were over because
Luke was never great.
Luke was always awful. It just, they have never been good at casting live action or real live people for the face characters with it. I don't think any of the Rays are good. They're not, doesn't mean they're not beautiful girls. They are, but they don't look anything like Daisy Ridley. Yeah. And when you're playing video clips all throughout the day of Daisy Ridley here and there, and then you have one who comes out and looks nothing like her, like, way to just take you right out of the moment right then and there. But Star Wars is built up of all these characters that aren't real living human people that you can put people in costumes and wheel them out for it, and they just don't. And it seems like such a missed opportunity still.
I agree. And I honestly think that this is one of the shows that really shows that it shows Disney at its like cheapest, you know? And so that's that. But those are our list of worst stage shows at Walt Disney World currently. That's Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair at the Magic Kingdom for the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along at Hollywood Studios, Beauty and the Beast live on stage at Hollywood Studios, Up, a Great Bird Adventure at Disney's Animal Kingdom, and Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away at Hollywood Studios. Surprise, surprise. Hollywood Studios was pretty much comprised both all the best and the worst stage show. So that's that. If you guys feel like we missed one that's a worst, or you felt we treated one of these unfairly, please let us know in the comment section if you are watching this video. Also, feel free to like the video. If you didn't like it, that's okay too. Subscribe to the channel to see more of what the Diz Unplugged has to offer. If you're listening on iTunes, be sure to rate and review us on there as well. Thank you guys for having this discussion. And until, I don't know why I keep saying until next time, because I don't have like an end phrase to say, but we will see you again in another episode of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World.